call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along our coverage of the NCAA tournament last night, the Sweet 16 games and the four games that made up last night's really... You sit back and you think, all right, these are going to be good games. They're going to be fun to watch. And, man, when they do, you're like, goodness gracious, three of those games were absolutely fantastic. And UConn, in their win, showed some dominance. Well, Houston is going to be playing tonight. And Joseph Duarte joins us from the Houston Chronicle on a team that has been number one for a good portion of the season. And, again, trying to get to Houston for the Final Four. And he joins us to talk about the Cougars on a Progressive guest line. Progressive drivers switch and save with Progressive. Save nearly $700 on average. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. This team has been on everybody's radar from the beginning. How have they handled that all season, and how have they handled it in the first two games of the tournament?
Well, they've handled it by going 33-3, which is pretty impressive considering, you know, from the get-go, they've had to answer the questions about the possibility of getting to a Final Four in their own backyard. And the, Kelvin Sampson doesn't let them get caught up in that, doesn't let them really address that. I mean, that's not I know it's coach speak, but that's not a topic in the locker room. But, you know, they certainly, once they've gotten to the tournament, that's been more of a topic as they go along. But those first two games, they had to dig deep. They were down against Northern Kentucky, and then, you know, Marcus Sasser's growing injury was an issue. And then they're down 10 at halftime to Auburn, and then they completely just dominate Auburn in the second half. So it's been an interesting first two games of the tournament, but it's been what they've done all year, and it's been winning.
How is Marcus Sasser's groin injury that we saw in that first game against Northern Kentucky? Came and played against Auburn, but you try to play through them. Where is he as he goes into tonight's contest?
Right. He told us at the practice session on Thursday that he expects to be about 90%.
Okay.
Now, you know how it goes with injuries this time of year. Everyone's got them and no one's 100%. So,
right.
they dodged a bullet because the situation at the American Athletic Conference, when he suffered it, it didn't look good. They held him out of the Memphis game and the championship for precautionary. And then he pulls himself out of the opener because he aggravates the injury. So the fact that, you know, a 2 weeks later that he's out there playing at a good level just shows you how this season's gone for them. They've sort of lived a charmed life for the most part, and they're gonna be, you know, where they need to be in terms of player availability for tonight's game against Miami.
This is such an efficient team offensively, and they pop on all the metrics for all of that. But give me a description of Houston Cougar basketball, if you can.
Well, it certainly doesn't begin on the offensive end. I mean, they're a decent offensive team, but it's defense and rebounding. Those are the pillars of this program. I've heard multiple people say that they win the category of toughness, that they're one of, if not the toughest team in college basketball, and that's the Kelvin Sampson effect. That's what he brings. You know, they're not going to beat you on their first or even sometimes their second shots, and it's never pretty. You're going to see games that are, you know, in the 60s, maybe sometimes even in the upper 50s. But, you know, they've had 36 games now, and only one team this season has scored their season average, and that says a lot for what they do defensively. Because they'll go in and they'll make you do things differently or not do anything at all. And that's been their secret, not only this year, just the last 5 years. They have had to replace multiple starters every year, and they keep getting to Sweet 16s, Elite 8s, and in this case trying to get to a second Final Four. So certainly defensive rebounding is where it all starts for Houston.
That leads me to my next question with Kelvin Sampson. A lot of these coaches have these rocky roads, but then they find a place. How has he found a place in Houston where he's getting this team consistently on our radar every March?
Well, to begin with, he needed somewhere to fix, and that he needed that place to meet him. And he was coming off of the show cause penalty. And, you know, he, at the time, he was an assistant with the Houston Rockets. So it was really the circumstance of the right place at the right time. And he's come in, he had one losing season his first year, and then went to two NITs. And since then, it's been, NCAA tournament each year. So this is a guy that he's got everything he needs around him. He's got his son next to him on the bench. He's got his daughter as the director of basketball operations. His two grandkids are running around the facility. He's planted roots for a 67-year-old man who has no intention to go anywhere else. This is it for him. And what he's turned this program into, no one was talking about Houston basketball before he got there. They hadn't done anything in this program since Five Slamma Jamma in the mid-'80s. And for him to come in and get a facility built, get a new arena in place, he's gotten everything that he wanted, and he's done everything that he thought he could do. And he thinks that he can win a championship at Houston, and they're four wins away from doing that.
From a standpoint, I found these schools fascinating that make their image of the city, where you've got it. Like, I live in Nashville, you've got Vanderbilt, but man, you go around the city and everybody's a Tennessee fan and everybody's a fan.
Right.
In South Florida, in Tampa, but people are Gator fans and they're Florida State fans. Is that the case in Houston? Are most Houstonians, do they root for Houston, or because of those two larger schools in the state, do they more or less dominate the landscape?
Well, even the fact that, you know, Houston's a pro town. You look, you got the Astros,
right? That's true.
Rockets,
that's right.
You got the Texans. That's number one. We used to joke that, you know, the Longhorns and the Aggies were sort of the fourth and fifth professional teams in the city. But Houston's imprint has really taken hold in its own city. They're a draw now. They're a hot ticket for games. There's billboards all over town. You know, they have the slogan for the city. So they've embraced being Houston's team. There's Rice is in town, but they have their small fan base. But Houston has sort of taken its part of the pie and run with it. And Texas and Texas A&M are still large presence just because of their fan base. But Houston has carved a nice little piece of the city, and you know, you go anywhere these days and you don't have to be a Houston Cougar fan in the city of Houston to root for them, and they've sort of kind of captured the attention the last few years, and there's watch parties going on this weekend, and a lot of people, you know, think that this is a team that could win a title, and maybe they throw a parade like they had for the Astros.
Yeah.
With, you know, probably about 500,000 less people, but you still have, they're the hometown team.
We talked about Marcus Sasser. Some of the other Houston players that have made a huge impact for Kelvin Sampson this season.
Jamal Shedd. I'd start there. He's their leader, their floor general. Everything goes through him. He's been a big part of things. And then you look at a guy like Jairus Walker. He was the McDonald's All-American, the five-star. Those guys didn't come to Houston before Kelvin Sampson and really before, you know, this last run of string of tournaments. So, you know, I'd start with those two guys. And then, you know, he doesn't have the when we talk about the big names or the big-time players, their development is where – they've done a lot of their damage. I mean, that's where they're good. And a guy like a Juwan Roberts, who had to wait his turn, wasn't, you know, big part of the plans the last few years. And then he comes in and averages, you know, 10, close to 10 rebounds a game and can do that for you. And then you get a guy like a Tremont Mark, you know, he gets lost in the Sasser shed guard rotation, but he's hit their two biggest shots for them the last few years. He had a tip in against Rutgers in the second round during their final 4 year, and then he has the 26 points against Auburn. So they really pride themselves on being able to develop guys, not just get the one and done. But I'm sure Kelvin would like a few of those whenever he can get them.
I read an article about Shedd where they were sort of exemplifying his leadership, and they said even on a team with like Marcus Sasser, they point to him and they say he's the guy that's running all this. Is that a good description on how he leads this team?
Absolutely. You know, Kelvin will go out and recruit, and he has an idea who his future captain's going to be, who's going to be that guy, and they zeroed in on Jamal Shedd early in the recruiting process. And you know, you look at these guys, they're not on a lot of people's radars. Marcus Sasser was the 399th ranked player in his class, and you know, Jamal Shedd was a scorer in high school, but that's not what they asked him to do here. So they specifically targeted a guy like Jamal Shedd, who they knew could come in, could command respect. He's essentially Kelvin on the court, and Samson's even mentioned that the way that they run things away from the bench at times, he puts everything in Jamal's hands for that first half when he's there on the opposite side of the court. So they feel like he's capable of running things, and you know, we just had a story recently about what it takes to be a Samson point guard, and we went back all the way to, you know, his days at Washington State and Montana Tech, and they all said the same. They said the same thing. You got to be a little crazy, but you also have to. You know, you got to have those intangibles. You got to have that basketball IQ, that toughness. And they said that at the end of the day, they're all going to get together and probably need some therapy. But they're all winners. They all want to win.
That's awesome, Joseph Duarte, Houston Chronicle on the Houston Cougars. They will go up against Miami today in the Midwest region. And again, two wins away from getting to Houston in the Final Four to play in their city. Joseph, good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me on.
You got to enjoy the game tonight against the Hurricanes. We'll come back, continue to analyze March Madness. And I got a very good reason why the doorbell rang during that interview in my studio. And I'll tell you why when we come back. It's Wake Up Call.